Holy Word this morning from Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah 21. The text for the sermon this morning is verses 11 and 12, the burden of Duma. Let's read the whole chapter. Isaiah 21, verse 1. The burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat. Drink. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed, and he cried, A lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in the ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir, Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, The morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. The burden upon Arabia. In the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedanim. The inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Within a year, according to the years of an hireling, all the glory of Kedar shall fail, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished. For the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it. Read that far. Sacred Scriptures, the text this morning is verses 11 and 12 of Isaiah 21. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir, Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, The morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Loved of God, a number of the Old Testament prophets were called by God not only to prophesy to God's people, the land of Israel, but were also called to speak the Word of God to the nations outside, around Israel. And Isaiah is one of those prophets. In chapters 13 through 23 of the prophecy of Isaiah, especially, the prophet has a word from God to speak to all the wicked nations that are around Israel. Those prophecies are burdens upon the prophet. Burden of Duma, the burden of Arabia. They are burdens because the prophecy is heavy, it's weighty. It's a prophecy of judgment. And whereas what Isaiah brings to Israel is judgment too, but will lead Israel to repentance and to come back, and there is gospel then upon the repentance. For the wicked nations, there is doom and destruction. It is a burden. In our text, we have one of those burdens. Prophecy regarding Edom. Duma is Edom. I'll explain in a little while in the sermon why it's called the prophecy of Duma then, and not just the prophecy of Edom. But for now, know at least that Duma is Edom. We know that because in the text there is a man who comes to speak to Isaiah from Mount Seir. And Mount Seir was a mountain in Edom. Judges 5 verse 4. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, Seir is Edom. So the burden of the prophet here concerns Edom and Edom's future. Isaiah sees a man in this vision, comes up to speak to him. This is not something that actually took place, of course. There's not actually a literal man who came up to Isaiah. This is a vision. But in the vision, there is a man who marches up from Edom, which is southeast of Israel, comes to speak to the prophet, crying, "Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?" The watchman being addressed is Isaiah himself. He is the watchman. He's called to be a watchman on the walls of Zion in Israel. In verse 6 of this same chapter that we read, God commands Isaiah, "Go set a watchman, Isaiah, and let him declare what he sees." And the watchman, of course, is Isaiah himself. He is supposed to stand as the watchman. His task as a prophet spiritually is to be a watchman for the people of Jehovah God. He watches for the enemies of God's people. He watches to see when the day of the promises of God fulfilled will be approaching for the Israelites. And as he is standing as a watchman for Israel, this man from another land, Edom, comes up to him, addressing him, asking him if it is almost morning. And Isaiah's answer to this man is the burden. It is the prophecy he has for Edom. It's this. First of all, from a negative point of view in verse 12. The morning cometh, and also the night. And then secondly, there is a positive command in verse 12. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Let's examine this morning the question that the man from Edom asks, and then the prophecy that Isaiah gives in response. And let's see this morning how it applies to us at the head of 2015, taking as our theme that stirring cry of the man from Seir, "Watchman, what of the night?" Let's notice first the night. Second, will that night end? And then third, let's see the command. The night, will it end? And the command. When the man from Mount Seir, from Edom, cries out, "What of the night?" he's asking the prophet Isaiah, "What time is it in the night?" In other words, he's asking, is the night almost over? Is it almost time for the morning to break, for dawn to come? A watchman in the Bible times, along with all of his other duties, had the duty to tell anyone who inquired, who for whatever reason was up in the middle of the night, how long it was before the morning would break. And that's what this man from Edom wants to know. That's what he's inquiring about from the prophet of God. Watchman, what of the night? How long is this night going to last? Is it almost morning yet? But this is a vision. And the night that this man is inquiring about is not merely the physical night. It is a spiritual night. It's the night God's judgment. The night throughout sacred scripture is used to picture sin and the consequences of sin, the darkness of the judgment of God upon sin that began already in Genesis 1 when God separates the night from the light, the day and the night. That's a picture of the antithesis between sin and righteousness, between judgment and blessing, between curse and mercy. And from there on, all throughout sacred scripture, night represents sin and the consequences of sin, the judgments of God upon sin. An image is used again in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, where darkness is used to picture the sin and curse that comes upon all the people of this world by nature. For behold, Isaiah 60, verse 2, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. And then it goes on to speak of the light of Christ pushing back that darkness. That's why we still even use the figure today to speak of the consequences of sin upon us and upon the world. Don't we speak that way? We call it sometimes the night of suffering or the dark night of the soul when we are down and in a struggling time. We still speak today of the garden and the fall with these types of terms. Paradise before the fall is light. And then when Adam fell, we speak of darkness that went out from that fall and covered the world with the curse of God upon sin. Night is sin and the curse of God for that sin. It's the consequences of pain and suffering and struggle and disease and trouble. And then the morning that this man from Edom is hoping for, is asking about if it's coming, is always a picture of the opposite. It's a picture of the removal of that sin and the removal of the consequences of that sin. It's a picture of the beginning of the rolling back of the judgments of God. Morning is when light breaks into the stranglehold that night has upon the world as the rays of that dawn of morning begin to push back the night and descend it backwards and replace what was night with now day, replaces the darkness with light, the light of deliverance, of liberation, of life and not death. The light of the morning in Scripture is always a picture then spiritually of the mercy of God replacing the judgment of God, of blessing come and pushing back cursing and all of the consequences of that blessing of health and life and prosperity, pushing back the consequences of sin, of pain and suffering and struggle, so that ultimately light in the Scripture and the morning light is the work of Christ. As Jesus Christ rolls back the darkness of sin and the curse of God upon this world by the power of His cross and resurrection, taking away the judgments of God and replacing them with blessing and peace. Night and morning. Now, Edom is in the night. And the night of judgment and the consequences of sin. Watchmen, what of the night? Indicates that this man from Edom recognizes that Edom is in the night. Night is all around us and he wonders when the time will come that it will change. Today, the day of blessing. Edom, in the historical context, is currently experiencing the very heavy hand of God in judgment. The nation of Assyria, the world power, is overtaking them right now. It is the night of destruction and death, of sickness and of pain. Women and children are being taken captive. Edom is experiencing the night. And she's experiencing that night precisely because of her sin. Let me tell you something about these Edomites in the text. These Edomites are the descendants of Esau. Genesis 36, verse 8 tells us that, quote, "Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir, Esau is Edom, end quote. Esau, who you know obviously is the twin brother of Jacob, was born into the church, born into the sphere of the covenant, externally a part of the covenant line. But this Esau was not a child of promise. He was reprobate, while Jacob was God's chosen servant, the child of promise. Esau was in the sphere of the covenant, but was not a part of the covenant. And he therefore grew up and rejected the things of Jehovah God, and his generations following him did the same. Might have been someone or a few who were elect from the generations of Esau that were drawn out of Edom, perhaps, but for the most part, Edom became the world. And as time went on, those Edomites developed in sin and in pride, as the world always does. They were known in Scripture as a very self-reliant and proud people who rejected God and shook their fist in the face of Jehovah God. There are people who trusted in their own wisdom and very proud of their worldly wisdom and power. Jeremiah 49, verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is their wisdom vanished? They had relied upon their wisdom, and God now, through the prophet of Jeremiah, is bringing judgments upon Edom, and he almost mocks them here in Jeremiah 49, saying, while you are under these judgments that I bring, where is your wisdom now? Has your wisdom vanished from you? You are so proud of your worldly wisdom and how that was going to be your strength and protection, and now my judgments fall upon you. Where is your wisdom now? Edom had trusted in their strong cities, their heavily fortified cities in the mountains of Seir and the other mountains there. Obadiah 1, verses 2 through 4. Behold, I have made thee, Edom, small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest upon the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. They trusted in their strongholds, and they cried out aloud to everyone around them, who would ever bring us down? We are mighty. And God says here, I will bring you down, you proud, self-reliant people who reject me. Because in their pride, in their self-reliance, Edom had a hatred for God. And had a hatred for God's people. There was a special hatred that Edom had for Israel. Because Edom knew the hatred that their first father Esau had for the first father of Israel, Jacob. They knew that Esau, they after him, had rejected the covenant and the covenant people. Rejected Jehovah. There were constant battles, tension always between Israel and Edom throughout the history. You remember, don't you, when the Israelites were on the Exodus, they were going to come into the land of Canaan. And they had to come through Edom. They had to pass through Edom in order to get into the land of Canaan. And they asked Edom, can we pass through? We're not going to touch anything. We'll just pass through and go into the land of Canaan. And Edom said, no way. These people knew each other. They had a long history here. These are the descendants of Esau coming up with the descendants of Jacob wanting to come through their land. Absolutely not. You may not come through here. And Israel had to go around. And you remember later after the kings, when Israel is taken captive by Babylon and Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed, the judgment upon Israel for her sins. What is Edom doing as Babylon is taking Israel captive? Psalm 137, verse 7. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. These Edomites were standing there as the cheerleaders for Babylon as they were coming in and destroying Jerusalem and burning it to the ground. Burn it to the ground, burn it to the ground, raise it, they were saying. They hated God and they hated the people of God. And for their sin, they are in the night of the judgments of God upon them. And deep down, they know it. man from Seir expresses it. What of this night? What of this night of judgment? We know this is judgment of God. Now, as Jerusalem is a picture of the church in the Bible, this Edom is a picture of the world today too. Isn't what we just described about Edom always true of the world? Even now in 2015? Developing in sin and pride, as Edom developed in sin and pride, the world trusts in its own wisdom, its own worldly power. It's puffed up in that. She has her unbelieving scientists, her unbelieving economists, her unbelieving politicians, and she exalts herself in pride, thinking that in her own worldly wisdom, these things will make her invincible. She is secure. She has her walled cities like Edom did. She has her power. She has her armies. She has her bombs. She has her diplomacy. And she says in her heart, always what Edom said in her heart, "Who shall bring me down? Who shall bring me down to the ground?" And she despises Jehovah God, rejects Him and mocks Him and His people, and increasingly so with greater boldness as we go along in the history of this world. Despises His Word and His law, mocks Him, dismisses His gospel. And how many in that world are not like Edom in that in their generations, they too were once part of the sphere of the covenant. Especially in this part of the world, this land, United States of America, in which we live, at one time, how many were not themselves or had family members raised in a God-fearing home, were part of externally the sphere of the covenant, and now are the generations of Esau, having forsaken the covenant of God, and not content merely to forsake it, despise it, as so often happens, mock it and laugh at God's people. And yet, just like Edom, is not this world in the night of the judgments for sin? And like Edom, does she not deep down know it? She experiences all the consequences of her sin all around her in her life. All the temporal judgments of God for sin. The curse of God is upon this world for rejection of His law. There's pain in this world. There is sickness. There is disease. For going against the way that God has laid out in this world, in His Word. These are the consequences. Not least of which are the consequences against the seventh commandment that everyone experiences as they reject His law and knows are the judgments of God. There is war and rumor of war in the midst of this world for man's greed and pride. Sometimes to a greater, sometimes to a lesser degree. But it's night. It's night in this world. And she cannot but know it deep down. She knows the judgments of God are upon this globe for sin. It is not morning, and it cannot be. And though she fights that night with everything in her, it lays heavy upon her in this world, and she cannot throw it off. She cannot overcome it. And so Isaiah hears a lone voice coming out from Edom, coming out from the world, under this darkness. Watchmen, what of the night? How long will this night of judgment last? Watchmen, hey you who are called the mouthpiece of God, what does your God have to say about this night of the consequences of sin that is upon us? How long will it last? What time of the night is it? When does the morning come? Will soon this light break the darkness? Notice the urgency of this man from Seir as the question is repeated twice. What of the night? What of the night? You know what it's like to be sick. We've had a lot of sickness going through here lately. You know what it's like to be sick. So sick that you can't sleep at night. You lie awake there in your bed, pain, in the middle of the night. What do? You roll over, you turn to your clock that's on your bedside stand, and really you ask this question to that clock. That clock is a watchman in the night, and you look at it longingly. Watchman, what of the night? What of the night? How long is it till morning? When is the day going to break so that I don't endure this pain and sickness and the long night? And you long for that with urgency. When will the morning come? That's the sense of urgency in this man from Seir who asks his question of the prophet of God and the pain and sorrow of the night of judgment. When will it be morning? Which begs the question, of course, who exactly is this man from Seir? Who is this Edomite? Is he perhaps an Israelite who had gone down to Seir, to Edom, and is caught up with the judgments of God that fell upon Edom while he was there? Is he perhaps an elect, believing Edomite in the midst of a worldly land that has rejected Jehovah God? Is he perhaps someone who is elect and who God is right now in the text bringing to Himself out of darkness into His light from Edom, out of Edom to the kingdom of God? Or is he simply an unbelieving man who, as everyone in Edom must have had, has latent memories of the power of Israel's God from the past that was passed down and is now making a desperate attempt to find out how long this is going to last, trying as his last resort the watchman of Israel? We don't know for sure. The text doesn't really give us any indication. But the point isn't so much who this man is as the fact that he's asking a good question. And he's asking it of the right source. And he's doing that all the while the rest of the people of Edom are asking this same question, but asking it of the wrong source. Isn't this man's question the question absolutely everybody in Edom has at this point? How long is this going to last? How long will this affliction of Assyria upon us be? Everybody is thinking this. But only one thinks to ask it of the watchman, of the mouthpiece, of Jehovah God. And isn't that too the world in which we live? Isn't this the question that the world asks in the midst of this night of the consequences of sin that weigh heavy upon this world? How long? How long will the diseases? How long will the wars? How long will the death? How long will the relational problems go on? How long will it be night in this world? When will we be beyond the night of Ebola and the night of ISIS and the night of racial tensions, black and white? When will the morning come, the world asks? Desperately, urgently, they ask this question. But though they ask the question, a good question, they don't ask the watchman on the walls of Zion. They ask the false watchman that they have themselves set up in the midst of this world. They ask this burning question of the unbelieving scientist, of the unbelieving politician, the unbelieving philosopher, the unbelieving doctor, the unbelieving military general. You watchman, you, what of this night? When will this be over? When will it be finished? And the answer they get back is always the same. We're almost there. We're almost there. We almost got it. Maybe this coming year, it will be that we have overcome the night And if not, then the year that is to come, we're just about there. Give us a little bit more time. We will bring in the morning, you will see. And all of this will be gone. This all will be pushed away. You will see, we'll throw off the consequences of sin and the curse of sin upon this earth. We didn't quite get there at the end of 2014, but 2015 we might do it. I think we will. 2015 will be the year. If we just get this disease cured, we'll be able to throw off the night. If we get rid of AIDS, then the night will be gone. We will usher in the morning. If we just get this group of people in the world under control, then we'll be there. Then the morning will come. If we just throw more money at this problem, then we'll get there. We will. And new diseases rise up. And new violence rises up. And new tensions rise up. And new problems rise up. They can never overcome the night of the consequences of sin. For always the root problem still remains of sin itself in the midst of this world. Band-aids are applied, but as long as sin remains in this world, the night of the judgment and curse will remain never to be overcome. And how few ask the watchman of Zion? How few cry out to the prophet of God? How few direct their question to the only source of a true answer, the watchman of God? What of the night, you? What do you have to say about this night that is upon us? But all who would have the answer, beloved, must come to Him, the watchman, for He stands and speaks for God. And God is the one who sends this night. He alone has the answer to its end. So who do you ask? To whom do you direct this question this morning at the beginning of 2015? You know what this night is too. You've lived in this night to some extent in the year that's gone by. There have been wonderful things, of course, about 2014. There's been much joy and much delight as you look back. There have been babies born to our congregation. There's been plenty of wonderful memories, family time enjoyed, blessings on many fronts that we can count and must. We are in Jesus Christ, and we know the morning of His cross in part already now. We still live in a world that is in the night. And we experience the curse of God upon this world for sin too. We experience the consequences of sin generally in this world. And we experience the consequences of our own sin too, of sickness and pain and death and trouble and sorrow in 2014 and 2013 and 2012. There's been night. Where do you look for the morning to come? Where will you turn for the breaking of the dawn? Will you join the world and cry out to man and believe that man will overcome the night himself one of these days? Or do you come to Jehovah and Him alone with this burning question, and to His prophet Isaiah this morning? You watchmen, what do you have to say? You tell us, what of the night? From this watchman comes the answer. It is a seemingly contradictory answer at first. Verse 12. The morning cometh, and also the night. How absolutely strange. The watchman's job is to tell when the morning comes. And when the morning comes, when the night would be gone. But this watchman responds by saying that the morning comes, and at the same time, the night continues to come some more, and both at the same time. What is the prophet saying? How can this possibly be? How can it be morning and yet still remain night at the same time? The answer is that he's saying the morning is coming, but the morning is coming only for some people in some place, and for other people in another place, it's going to still be night. Even after the morning comes for these other people in this other place. It's like what happens on this earth naturally. Physically, when the sun rises in the morning. The morning comes for people in the Eastern Hemisphere. But at the same time that the morning is coming for people in the Eastern Hemisphere, it is still night and continues to be night for people in the Western Hemisphere. That's an illustration of what the prophet is saying here spiritually. The morning, man from Seir, that you are inquiring about will come. It will come. There will be a breaking of judgment and curse and the consequences for sin. But it will not come for all. And even while that morning comes for some, for the others, it will still continue to be night, and it will ever be night, and never will morning break. Isaiah speaks as a prophet of God. He speaks as the watchman on the walls of Zion. And his answer to the man from Seir is this: for Israel, for the descendants of Jacob, the morning comes. Israel, just like Edom, was under the chastisements of God in the historical context. She was experiencing the night too. The same Assyria had come upon Israel. The consequences of sin were felt there too. And Isaiah says, the morning will dawn for God's people. Morning is for them in the way of their repentance for their sin under this heavy hand of God. And that's exactly what happened. Morning came in the way of their repentance. First, in the historical context, in their return from captivity, Jerusalem was rebuilt as Israel came back. God's people were restored. But ultimately, Isaiah is looking beyond that when he speaks of the morning that comes for Israel. He's looking to the light of the dawn of the morning when the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. He's looking to the morning of the advent of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Himself, who will Himself take the punishment for the sins of all true Israel, wherever they are in every time and place. This Lord Jesus Christ takes upon Himself the night in those 3 hours of darkness upon His cross. All the night for all of God's own is placed upon Him there as He bears Himself the curse upon the tree. And bearing that night, He ushers in the morning. The day breaks so that even those sufferings and trials for God's people become a tool that He uses for their good. He sees Christ coming to bear the night. But Isaiah even looks farther ahead than that. The day when this same Christ returns again the second time, brings in that day He had initiated at His cross, now fully, forever. When He pushes back with all the light of His glory in His second coming, all the curse of God upon this earth, and brings in the new heavens and new earth, free from any suffering and any pain and any violence and any consequences of sin for all of His people. Morning is coming. Morning is coming, man from Seir. It is coming for God's people, Israel. I see it. I see it on the horizon. It's about to dawn. For you in Edom, it will only be night. For you, Edom itself, and for you, Edom, as representative of the world of unbelief, at the same time that morning is dawning, it will only remain night for you, and it will get increasingly dark. It did for Edom, even historically. Eden was destroyed after this. She was silenced. Which is why the prophet is inspired to call his oracle the burden of Duma. The Spirit is making a play on words there. You can see it even in English. He has taken the E of Edom, taken it from the front and put it at the back, so that instead of Edom, it's Duma. Duma is the Hebrew word for silence, but particularly the silence of death. Psalm 115, verse 17, "The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence, nor do any who go down into Duma." It's the silence of the grave, the silence of death. The answer Isaiah has for Edom is that though the morning is coming for God's people, for Edom, she will end in the night of the silence of death, now and eternally in hell. And God's answer is the same today as it was then to this urgent question. What of this night? There is a morning coming. Indeed, it has already broken in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the full light of that morning is yet to come in the future. And it is coming. It is coming. It will come. It shall. It is certain. The morning cometh in the text. That phrase, the morning cometh in Hebrew, is in a tense of surety. As though it's already happened, it is so sure. It is coming. But also the night. The morning will not be for all. For those who are truly Israel and all the world, and all the world, people of God, but for Edom, for the world, there will only be more night. Though the false watchmen of that world stand at the beginning of 2015 and proclaim that they will bring in the morning themselves, that they're almost there, one more year, they will not bring it in 2015. They will not bring it in 2016 or ever. It will only be night until the night of the eternal consequences for sin, the Duma of the silence of death and destruction. But the prophet's message does not end there, does it? He ends by pointing out to the man from Seir who has inquired of him that there is one and only one possible way of escape from that coming night. As I said, we're not sure of the spiritual state of this man from Edom who appears in the vision, but it seems that in God's providence, the prophet Isaiah himself is not really sure either. For his command to him is hypothetical. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. In other words, if you would escape what I have just told you and would partake of the morning, the dawn that is coming upon the people of God, you must do, by a work of God's grace in your heart, one thing. You must come back and inquire again later. And if you do, and when you do, the answer will be different for you. Only this way. As you turn and come. As you return, as you repent. The word in Hebrew is the usual word for repent and for conversion in the Old Testament. You must turn from your sinful way and come. You must come out of Edom and you must come into Israel. You must leave the people who have rejected God and join the covenant of grace. Come back to the kingdom and covenant that your first father Esau rejected. Then and only then will you experience the morning and not the night. For the morning dawns and only and ever dawns upon the church, the repentant people of God, and no other. And this too, beloved, is a vital part of the message still today. What would the church say to the world at the end of another year in which this world has not dispelled the night as she said she would? What you need at the beginning of the new year is not more trust in unbelieving science, is not more trust in unbelieving economists, is not more trust in the wisdom of this world. What you need is a turning. Turn, return to the God of your fathers, the God of creation, the God of redemption, repentance, and faith. What is needed for all those who would really inquire of God as to the end of the night for them is return. Come. Come out of the world and its false hope. Come out of the world and its delusions. Spiritually leave it behind. It's only an ever night there. More and more night is the future of this world. Come into the church of Jesus Christ, the Israel of God. There and there alone will the morning dawn upon you. That's the message for the world, out of which God will yet draw His own in 2015. And the message to the church is one of warning. Isaiah prophesies this burden of Duma also for the church, for Israel's sake. This is recorded in the prophecy of Isaiah that will be read by Israel. There is something that Israel must know here in this prophecy of Duma, and it is this. Do not turn to this world for your hope and your peace for the future. Put her away. You have been called out. You have been separated. You've been set apart. And you must be distinct. You must be spiritually separate. You must be different as the night is from the light. This is the world's end. Church of Jesus Christ, night and evermore night. Doesn't look like it always. It looks light sometimes, but it's a false glow. And the message of the prophet Isaiah for the church is don't be attracted to the Edom of this world. Don't go along with her and her priorities in the way of her life. Night is her only future. Don't heed her siren calls. The answer to the suffering and to the pain and the struggle of this age, beloved, is not the world's answers ultimately at the end of the day. Because the root problem runs deeper, deeper. Don't be fooled. Sin is the issue. What do you need, Church of Jesus Christ, for the future to be warning for you? What do you look for 2015 and beyond even? End the night of the curse of God for sin, pain, struggle, trial, difficulty. It's not going to be simply getting a better job, though God may give you a better job. And that may be nice, beneficial. It's not going to simply be getting a better insurance plan, though God may grant to you a better insurance plan. It's not going to be having more money than 2014, though God may give you more money or less, who knows. It's not going to be the pleasures of this world in an attempt to hide and dull yourself to the darkness that is there. It will be repentance and faith and life in the Church of Jesus Christ, lived according to the will of God, upon which the day ever dawns. For the cross that demolishes the night is found and known. There is safety. There is hope. There is a future in the Israel of God and not in the Edom of this world. Amongst God's people, the body of Jesus Christ, in which you know your place and have your place. The same way Israel would know and have her place, in the same way anybody coming out of Edom would know and have their place, by daily turning, repenting, and coming out of the world in 2015 and into the Church of God spiritually in your life, putting the world away for you. Do that by grace. There is the brightest of futures. There's mourning for you. In 2015, 2016, and beyond in the life that is to come. For that cross breaks the stranglehold of night in your own life, now in part, and will push it back fully in the life that is to come. Revelation 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Amen.